You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's Gym Class for a Friday here at KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we get you ready for the weekend. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, and you, our listener, the most important aspect of the program. 319-366-1600 is the text line. Phone line as well, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today as we got a good show planned. KJ Pilcher from the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us, and we will get a talk about and preview the state baseball tournament, which will get underway at two sites coming up next week, Carroll and Iowa City. Second time they have done that, separated the classes, and we will get to that with KJ. Maybe a little bit about a little wrestling. Who knows? We'll see how it all plays out, but we'll talk with him coming up on the back half of the show. Open Championship getting ready for the weekend, and we'll talk about that. Iowa men's basketball, non-conference schedule pretty much finalized. We'll get to that as well. And again, it's 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. We are presented by Tobacco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. And again, thanks to all the great people at Dupaco for helping out and taking the leadership role and the sponsorship role and the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program. As Mark joins me, a tired Mark Dukes, because I'm sure you got up again at 12:30 this morning, Iowa time, to watch every shot of the second round of the Open Championship.
I didn't go to bed. Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone.
He's all keyed up on some sort of energy drink and in life.
I'm not going to lie. I did not get up at midnight or watch any of the early action at the Open. There was enough for me once I did get up and caught up on the early tea times and whatnot and watched the finish of action here just shortly, short time ago.
Yeah, and we'll get to that here as the Open Championship is just about wrapped up for the second round at St. Andrews in Scotland. In fact, there are a few players still out on the course. It is 9:08 over at St. Andrews right now. It does not get dark until 10:30-ish, almost 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
So they can play till the wee hours. And cut's going to be an even par, and there's going to be a lot of big names that are not going to make the cut, that will not make the cut, I should say. Tiger Woods among them. Unfortunately, Mark, another one among them is a former champion at St. Andrews.
Yeah, Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids will not play the weekend. He finished plus three, 75 today, plus three for the tournament. So obviously if the cut's even, he missed by three shots. Tiger Woods also shot 75, finished at plus nine. He is done. Other notables not making the cut, defending champion Colin Morikawa, finished at plus two. John Daly, right there with Zach Johnson, plus three. Brooks Koepka, plus four. Phil Mickelson, plus five. Your leader right now, my guy, Cameron Smith.
Congratulations to you on the halfway mark. Leadership on the board out there. And all three of the guys we picked on Wednesday on Caddy Smack doing pretty well. Will Zalatoris had a good day today. He is in the hunt. He's at 4 under par. He shot a 67 today. That was Brian Haas's pick. My pick, Shane Lowry, at 4 under right now? Yeah, 4 under par. So he is definitely in for the weekend. So Zalatoris and Lowry right in there at 4 under par. Usually it was a pretty good score in a major after two rounds, Mark. That's good for a tie for 24th this year at St. Andrews.
Cameron Smith leading the way, minus 13. He was 8 under 64 today. Cameron Young in second at 11. By the way, no one named Cameron has ever won the Open Championship. I don't know why that's a big deal, but...
It just is.
Third place right now, Rory McIlroy and Victor Hovland, both with excellent rounds. McIlroy with a 68, Hovland with a 66. And Dustin Johnson at minus 9. And I'm not sure about the pairings, but should Rory McIlroy be paired with Dustin Johnson? No, he won't. He won't.
No, it's going to be Rory and Victor going out in the penultimate pairing tomorrow.
But there will not be much conversation on the putting green between Rory and Dustin Johnson.
DJ, I heard on the way here, is going to be with Scottie Scheffler tomorrow. So pretty darn good pairing right there. And Tiger Woods did not make the weekend. And we said yesterday that it was going to take a Herculean effort for Tiger to make the weekend. And just did not happen. And finished at 9 over par. Shot 3 over 75 today. And I think the neatest part, though, was the fact that he got a tremendous ovation on the 18th hole, as he should. Very well deserved. There was a lot of talk about the 18th hole and exactly how Tiger was going to play it. Was he going to pause on the Swilken Bridge? Was he going to have a Jack Nicklaus Arnold Palmer moment on the bridge? Got to the bridge, trudged up, kept going. And I think that tells you right there, if you read body language and everything in the world of golf, that Tiger is planning to be back the next time that the Open Championship goes to St. Andrews, which would be 2027-ish, I want to say. Who knows? That's a long way down the road. He's going to be plus 50. He's going to be on the north side of 50 at that point. And again, like we talked about yesterday, and it was great to see him out there in the majors. He was not a factor as far as the majors are concerned. This was the one he was pointing at the most. He admitted that, and this is the one that disappointed him the most, because I truly believe he thought he had a shot to at least make some noise and was not happy with the... Still talking about the shot from the divot on Thursday from one. That was not a good shot, but... Yeah, it's a shame, but I think this is, like we said all year, this is pretty much what you're going to get from Tiger from here on in until he decides not to play tournament golf anymore.
No, the noise he made was a thud. Missed the cut by 9 shots, not even close. He didn't make the cut in the Masters, right?
No, he did. He did.
Which is a terrific accomplishment, but as we said yesterday, you cannot play competitive golf with the Cameron Smiths and the Rory McIlroys and the Hovlands and the DJs playing a handful of times a year. And that bore itself out this weekend or this week.
Yeah, and next time we see Tiger, more than likely, is going to be for his tournament he hosts in November. That is a lot of the speculation. And again, there's what, 4 more months off? And then probably the next time you see him, we'll be getting ready for Augusta again, if that's the path he chooses to take. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think you can say that he's going to be there for sure, but I think he's going to do everything in his power to try to be there. I don't anticipate Tiger playing in any event, even around the world, until he gets to his own tournament in November.
I don't either. He will not be part of the conversation this weekend, although NBC will mention him. There's no question about that. The bigger goodbye today to me was Nick Faldo, who was in the NBC booth and USA Network early coverage. Nick, of course, is going to retire to his home in Montana after 3 more events with CBS. I love Nick Faldo. I like what he does. I like his analysis. I like his fairness. but this will be the last time he calls an open, apparently.
Yes, it will. Unless something changes. He did leave the door open to maybe an appearance here or there, but a good place for him to go out at St. Andrews. He had a very Nick Faldo-like line today. They were looking for Xander Schauffele's ball in the gorse, and he uttered, "Ooh, there might be a feathery in there," as only Nick Faldo can do. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM, if you'd like to comment about the Open Championship. Yeah, you won't have Tiger, so yeah, I get it. TV ratings won't be there, but tell you what, we got a very, very interesting dynamic shaping up for the weekend, Mark, because you've got good versus evil in the world of golf shaping up this weekend. A lot of folks from the LIV Tour toward the top of the leaderboard, led by Dustin Johnson. At minus nine, only four strokes out of the lead. Tyrrell Hatton, Taylor Gooch, three players from the LIV Tour in the top 10 right now. This is the old Westerns. This is the black hat versus the white hat, right? And it's going to be interesting to see how this is all plays out and is shown as far as television is concerned. We did get our first Patrick Reed sighting today, but boy, it was not a close-up. Patrick, who is adorned with LIV Tour hat, shirt, etc., playing, and he is going to make the weekend. So
he is. Lee Westwood's up there.
Abraham Answer, Lee Westwood, are all up there, like you mentioned. So Patrick Reed is minus four right now, and tied for 24th in that logjam at four under par. It's going to be very, very interesting to see if those folks, so far it's been, there has been no talk about the LIV Tour. There's been no talk of, you know, Dustin Johnson's not on the tour anymore or anything like that.
How will the RNA receive Dustin Johnson should he win?
Big question. Big question right there. 319-366-1600. Are you hoping for chaos this weekend, golf fans? And Dustin Johnson walking away with the claret jug. Or it could be Lee Westwood walking away with the claret jug. Tyrrell Hatton playing good golf right now. Maybe he walks away with it. Or is it a guy named Cameron? They'll be playing. They'll be paired together tomorrow in one of the last game going out, Mark. They call it game.
They do.
Game 54. Or whatever the case may be.
9663 on the text line, which is 319-366-1600. If an LIV tournament guy wins, does he get that money plus live money too?
No. Don't believe so.
Live money.
Live money.
Yeah.
Live money, live money. I don't think he gets more money.
No, this is not an LIV event.
No, it is not. It is not.
It never will be.
And it doesn't count for their status as far as world golf rankings are concerned. I mean, that would move, you know, Dustin Johnson back up. And he will move up a little bit because this does count, I should say, for the world golf rankings, but none of the LIV Tour events count as far as that goes. Do you like seeing St. Andrews kind of take a beating like it is right now? I said over 20 under is going to win this thing, and I don't think there's any doubt now. Because it sounds like the weather forecast is going to be about the same for Saturday and Sunday in Scotland. So, I mean, this has suddenly turned into the Bob Hope Desert Classic here a little bit.
Yeah, scores are awfully low today. You got 7-unders out there, 8-unders, 6-unders. And that's not customary at St. Andrews. And the only defense for it would be if the wind blew.
Right.
And that's probably not going to happen. So I think all of us just need to realize this is an unusual year and an unusual tournament at St. Andrews.
Even the Heather is not real high this year. I mean, they're bombing it, just keeping it away from the bunkers and putting it into the rough. And 7 out of 10 times, they've got a good, decent lie that they can run up to the green with it being so hard and dry and fast right now.
Victor Hovland knocked one in for eagle.
Yeah, he did on 15 today. Yeah. On 15 today. 319-366-1600, 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. KJ Pilcher going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. News out of Iowa City today, both basketball-wise and also NIL-wise, Mark. The Iowa City NIL Club today tweeting out that they have already gone over the $100,000 mark as far as public sales are concerned. People are buying the passes to enter the Iowa City NIL Club. I am not surprised by this at all, and it's pretty much on schedule of what I thought it would be.
It's $199 per membership, so that 500 people
ish
have signed up. I guess I'm not surprised either. I think over 100 players are participating in this, so you divvy up the pot when it's all said and done, and that'll be that. So,
but it's good. It's good for those players in there that are going to take advantage of it. And, you know, we've talked about that in the past. And if there is an opportunity for players, especially football players, to go out there and secure sponsorship and NIL money, they're going to do it. But, you know, everybody getting a piece of pie, as we would like to say right now. And everybody is getting a piece of pie. So 100,000 by 100. So you got everybody with at least 100 bucks right now, right? Is that how it works out? Double check my math there.
Yeah, calculator says yes.
Okay. 319-366-1600 here on the gym class program on KGYM. And good stuff coming up with KJ Pilcher here in just a little bit. We also have college basketball news from Iowa City, as the Hawkeyes have come out with their non-conference schedule for men's basketball. Pretty much finalized at this point, Mark, and taking a look at it, looks as though that the Hawks will open the season at Carver-Hawkeye Arena November the 7th against Bethune-Cookman. That will be the game.
Nickname?
I don't know.
Mm.
Bethune-Cookman. I'd have to think on that one. But that will be on November the 7th. November 11th, North Carolina A&T will come to Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Then you've got the Gavitt game with Seton Hall on November the 16th. UNO, Nebraska-Omaha, November the 21st. The Emerald Coast Classic that Iowa is a part of, November 25th. And 26th, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, Iowa and Georgia Tech. That will be on November the 29th. That will be in Iowa City. At Madison Square Garden on December the 6th, that is the game with the Duke Blue Devils. 2 days later, Iowa and Iowa State at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. How about that? December 17th, Southeast Missouri State, otherwise known as SEMO, coming in. And then Eastern Illinois on December the 21st. I'm trying to place where the Big Ten, if they're looking at possibly those two late November, early December conference games again, and it would have to be between Georgia Tech and Duke if they're doing that again this year, which I would assume that they are. But that's only a week. So Iowa could have Georgia Tech, Big Ten opponent, Big Ten opponent, Duke, and Iowa State in a five-game stretch.
And you can bet Purdue will be one of those opponents.
Well, check. Well, hold on. Even going beyond that, I forgot about the Emerald Coast Classic. So you've got two quality games there. Then Georgia Tech, two Big Ten opponents, like you said, Purdue, Duke, and Iowa State. So you're going to know a lot about the Iowa basketball team 11 games into the season this
year. Good schedule. Good schedule.
It is a good schedule. Good schedule out there. Iowa State's came out yesterday, and not a bad schedule as well.
Did the women's come out?
Did we take that out, Ben? Ben, did we? Okay, thank you. There you go. 319-366-1600 here at 325. No, I don't think it did come out, Mark. But when it does, we will let you know about it. We'll be the first ones to hop on that and let you know about it, but not a bad non-conference slate as far as the Iowa men's basketball team is concerned. All right, we're going to talk to KJ Pilcher coming up here in just a little bit. And we'll do that after we take care of business with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. And they are open at 4 o'clock and stop on by sometime this weekend. You can do it tonight. Patio is open, available, ready to go out there. So terrific bar service and terrific, terrific food made fresh daily at Emil's Hideaway.
Only one afternoon game on the MLB scoreboard, and that has been rained out. The Mets at the Cubs postponed. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. The Houston Texans of the NFL have resolved 30 cases, 30 claims of women who alleged Deshaun Watson abused them. I'm not sure that will affect the NFL's decision, but we'll see. The late Jim Thorpe will have his medals restored from the 1912 Olympic Games, at which he won the decathlon and pentathlon. They were stripped of him because he played minor league baseball 2 years prior to those Olympic Games. Iowa football has set Kids Day at Kinnick Stadium for Saturday, August 13th. And finally, DME Academy in Florida will retire the jersey numbers of Keegan and Chris Murray. That announced today. Of course, those twins attended that academy before arriving at Iowa.
Pretty cool deal there.
Yeah.
Not bad. Chris and Keegan having their numbers retired by DME Academy down there in Florida. And Keegan continues to do well as far as the summer league is concerned. And we'll see what Chris does as he gets ready for his junior campaign, as far as the Iowa Hawkeyes are concerned. 319-366-1600. If you're wondering about a topic for today, we're going to take a week off as far as our Friday topic series. We will be back with that coming up next week on Friday, I assume. Big week next week with the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. We'll talk more about that before 4 o'clock coming up today as well, especially the Home Run Derby, as now we have the participants and the brackets out there as far as Home Run Derby 2022 is concerned. And we're efforting an old friend for next week. We're not going to promise anything. We're not even going to let you know who it is, but we are efforting an old friend for next week.
His team might have won in Toronto last night.
but we'll see if we can pull that off coming up for next week. 319-366-1600. Coming up on 329, we're going to get a look at our weather forecast for tonight and into the weekend. And we'll come back, and KJ Pilcher of the Gazette will join us right after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
From the CBS 2 Iowa News Now with the first forecast. Sunrise meteorologist Nick Stewart, mainly cloudy skies throughout the night tonight. Warm and muggy, a low near 68 degrees. For your Saturday, mainly cloudy skies throughout the day. A very slim chance for a spotty shower or storm. Temperatures near 83 degrees for a high. A bit breezy as well. Northeast winds gusting upwards of 20 miles per hour. On Sunday, under partly cloudy skies, temperature reaching back near 85. Monday, lots of sunshine, temperatures back near 90. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean Hope Desk?
Hope Desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope, you get help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Learn more online at weneedhelpnow.com.
We need help now.
Dobbs.com.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings in velvet-lined Hertine and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertine and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertine & Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 10 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
We are back at 3:32 as the gym class for Friday continues here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. And Ben with you here today. And don't forget, right after our show, it's Todd and Alex, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We got the Giants and the Brewers tomorrow, Saturday baseball for you. No Sunday night baseball this week with the All-Star break coming up. We'll have Home Run Derby for you coming up on Monday night. And then the All-Star game, the Summer Classic, Midsummer Classic from Dodger Stadium will come up on Tuesday evening, and definitely looking forward to that. Also coming up next week is the state baseball tournament. Two sites, 1A and 2A over at Merchants Park in Carroll, and 3A and 4A will have their tournament at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. And KJ Pelcher of the Gazette, kind enough to join us here on a Friday edition of the show to talk about the state baseball tournaments with us. And hey, before we talk about that, sir, you had a very unique summer with, you got a chance.
Very much so.
Mark and I had the same opportunity, and it's challenging, but I tell you what, I wouldn't have given it back for anything. And that is to not only cover things, but also to watch your own play. And you got to do it double this year. So that was fun, right?
Yeah, I'm an emotional person, so you're immediately putting goosebumps on my arm and goosebumps in my throat because, this was a very special season. Last two summers, my daughters Keely and Katie have played together on the Xavier softball team on the varsity level, and this being Keely's senior year, it was a pretty cool experience to kind of see how things went and watching them, play their last games together and share that bond. And, you're still trying to balance it as much as you can to make sure you're doing your job and promoting, those athletes on the baseball side that I'm supposed to be covering. Luckily I had a lot of support, Jeff Johnson, J.R. Ogden, Mike Condon filled in and did some things for us as well. And made sure that, if I wasn't going to be able to get there, somebody would. So we still had that, presence, covering the baseball athletes as well. And, it was a really neat season. Enjoyed that. Like you said, it was tough, but wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And it's kind of interesting. Their regional game at Mount Mercy here last Friday, it was Keeley's last home game, ended up being a 14-inning 1-0 win over Newton. and I stayed as long as I could. I think I made 11 innings before I had to run over and cover Marion's postseason opener against Mount Pleasant. That just happened to be on the other side of Mount Mercy, and Keeley's last home game, she had an RBI base hit in the 14th to move them on to the regional semifinals. That was pretty special. And of course, the first person to meet her at first base was her sister. So that was a pretty cool experience for them and our whole family.
Didn't get any better, KJ.
For sure.
No doubt. Well, we go now get ready for Iowa City and Carroll. And are you going to make Rob go over to Carroll to cover all the teams over there?
No, I will be heading over to Carroll and covering 1A and 2A over there. I did that last year. I realized that I am way too old to drive over back and forth each day like I did last year. So I'll be setting up shop at Carroll, and Jeff Johnson will head down to Duane Banks Field and take care of 3A and 4A since they're being held simultaneously, kind of like the old days when they're at Carroll and Marshalltown. So
yep.
We'll have that. But I'm really, I tell you what, I'm really excited to go over there because I think, I think this is some of the most representation we've had as far as Gazette area teams and across the board in all four classes in a really long time. Three teams in each class from our area. So baseball was really, really good in Eastern Iowa this year, and I think it shows by the amount of teams that will be playing for a title here this coming up week.
Well, we usually start in 4A. Let's start where you're going to be in Carroll, and that is for 1A and 2A. Area teams in 2A include Cascade and Mid Prairie. You'll have one of those advance, Dyersville-Beckman. Analyze that field for us.
Yeah, you know, I think you start with Van Meter. Van Meter's going for their fourth state title, and they're the number one seed. And, you know, it's going to take a Herculean effort for any team to knock them off.
Undefeated, right?
Yes. Yep, they're on a run. They've won 30-plus some games in a row. Might even be a little bit more than that, considering last season's run. They were 31-7 a year ago. But, you know, the one thing that kind of stands out here, after you get past Van Meter, is I think the field is kind of wide open. You know, Cascade, you mentioned Cascade, Mid Prairie, both of those teams are from the River Valley Conference. They faced each other on June 9th. That was a game that Cascade won 3-0, but, you know, Mid Prairie's played a lot better as of late. Jack Carr in that game for Cascade held Mid Prairie to just 4 hits. So Carr's had some success against them, but then, you know, you look at Mid Prairie's offense and, you know, they've already seen Carr once. So I think that's going to be a really good game to keep an eye on in the quarterfinals. And then, you know, you've got Dyersville-Beckman. That's kind of a special story there. Fred Martin in his final season coaching the Blazers. He's been, I think a lot of people around baseball know Fred was a longtime assistant and friend to Tom Jenk, the late Tom Jenk Jr., took over. I think I don't think he really wanted to replace Tom when Tom passed away, but stepped in. You know, this is the first time they're going back since 2017 when they won the 2A title in that emotional year, and with Tom Jenk being driven by ambulance to Principal Park to watch that title game. So this is a really special. I know the Blazers really wanted to send him out. As Owen Hunegarth put it, we want to send him out with a bang. So they punched their ticket to Carroll, and now they want to make some noise. And, of course, they've got Dyke New Hartford out of the gate. That's a very winnable game for Beckman, but then Van Meter looms there in the semifinals as long as they advance, and that's going to be really tough there. The one thing I thought was really interesting, talking about Cascade and Beckman, you know, I think everybody knows the rivalry there between those two teams in Dubuque County, and for many, many years, they've really had to go through each other to get to state. This is the first time, just the second time overall, and the first time since 1982, so 40 years ago, was the only other time that Cascade and Dyersville-Beckman qualified for the state tournament in the same year. Both of them lost to Norwalk. Cascade lost in the semifinals, and then Norwalk beat Beckman for the championship that year. But, you know, given that rivalry and the history in Dubuque County, I thought it was kind of interesting that for the first time in 40 years, those two teams have qualified. And, of course, they're on opposite sides of the bracket. And, you know, it's going to take an upset or two for them to meet each other in the finals. But right now, in 2A, I really think that's Van Meter's tournament to lose, really. And it wouldn't surprise me if Cascade or Mid-Prairie, one of those two teams, are in the finals against Van Meter.
Yeah, here's the biggest question of the time is, will the Beckman fans get there early to cheer on Cascade, and will the Cougar fans stay to cheer on Beckman?
You know, that's really, really interesting because one of my features leading into the tournament will be just kind of how that that relationship is between Beckman and Cascade. And I talked to the Beckman players after their sub-state win over Jessup, and you know, what's it like, you know? And some of them were saying on the field, yeah, we don't like them. You know, off the field, we get along, you know, it's a Dubuque County thing, but when we're playing on the field, we don't like them. But I have a sneaking suspicion that there'll be plenty of green and gold that are getting over there around noon or 12:30 before the Cascade game. And a lot of that blue and gold will stick around after to watch Beckman take on Dyke New Hartford. So, it's fun to listen to how there's a mutual respect,
yep,
between the two programs. But man, when they get on the field together, they don't like each other. But that's kind of a neat relationship there.
Well, much like in softball, North Lynn and Lisbon's in the 1A field, and two very good programs, but tough opponents.
Yeah, you know, Lisbon, a very similar situation from a year ago with Lisbon. You know, they returned just about everybody from last year's team that made a nice run and got to the quarterfinals, lost to eventual state champion Council Bluffs St. Albert in the quarterfinals. And the Lions have made kind of a similar run. You know, they've been in the rankings, out of the rankings, but punched their second straight ticket and their ninth state trip overall. And they've got Mason City Newman, you know, Mason City Newman year in and year out is one of the top teams. Last year, they kind of got upset early. You know, they were part of that group, but Mason City Newman, Northland, that had some rare upsets early in the playoffs, and that's how we got kind of a different field last year. But Mason City Newman's back, and they're just as good as ever. So it's going to be a tough tour for Lisbon. You know, but they've got the experience. I'm sure they learned some things from a year ago. You've got some great talent, you know, like the Scots and Hunter Clark, some very, very good athletes. And Lisbon don't have a shot. North Lynn, you know, mentioned they kind of got upset last year. They'd had a string of qualifying that dated back to 2017. And now they're back. You know, this is a team that's led by Austin Hilmer, but you've got some really good balance and some depth. It's not just Austin Hilmer, even though he leads the way. You've got Mason Beshin, who's a really talented young kid. Travis Griffith heaped a lot of praise on him, comparing him to Jake Hilmer, and said as an eighth grader, as a freshman, he's probably about second behind Jake Hilmer as the best young athlete that he's coached in that baseball program, and that says a lot. You know, you've got Caleb Bridgewater, Trey McEnany, Corbin Woods. They've got a really deep team. It kind of resembles you know, the team that they had in 2018, 2019, 2020. So that's a team that I think is a sleeper. Being on the other side of Newman and New London, who I think really might be the two best teams in the field, I really like Northland's draw. They've got Kingsley Pearson right out of the gate, and then you know, possibly top-seeded Remsen St. Mary's in the semis. But I really like where Northland's sitting. I like how their pitching kind of sets up. You know, their ability to score runs, I think, will be key down in Carroll. And the one thing to keep an eye on, too, South Winneshiek, that's who Remsen St. Mary's has right out of the gate. South Win, the number 8 seed. They blanked Lansing Key, who was ranked 3rd and last year's state finalist. They blanked them 2-0 in the sub-state final. Southwind has not given up a run in 4 postseason games. And, you know, Alex Smith, this is the 3rd time in 4 years he's led Southwind to the state tournament. They're 0-3, unfortunately, but that is a sneaky team to have to draw first round. And Alex Smith, their head coach, has kind of a game plan, you know, based off those last 3 appearances. And I think that's a team might upset the apple cart. They have the potential to upset the apple cart a little bit. And that's on the same side as Northwind.
Yeah. KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, joining us 3:46, talking about state baseball tournament. Jeff Johnson will be down at Duane Banks, like you said, but you've seen a lot of the 4A's and 3A's. Let's start with the 4A's. Prairie and Kennedy, you were there. That thing was a beauty the other night over Prairie with the Hawks winning in extra innings. They are the 3rd seed. City High did what they expected to do, and that was get to Iowa City, or cross town anyway. and then Liberty pulled off the stunner for Coach Kronk and beating PV.
Yeah, not just PV, but even the round before when they shelled Cedar Falls. Cedar Falls is a really good team. I watched Cedar Falls, really take Independence, who qualified in 3A beating Xavier. Saw them really kind of take Indy to the woodshed just before the playoffs started. And to see what Liberty did to them and then follow it up with a win over PV, you know, Iowa City Liberty, really an emotional year. They've kind of had some adversity and some loss in that program. I know Coach Kronk, this has really been kind of an emotional season, and to get Liberty to the state tournament for the first time in school history, you know, that's pretty special. You mentioned City High kind of taking care of business like they have all season. That's a team that's just, they've got quality players up and down the lineup. You don't have to look any further than, you know, Cade Obermuller, assuming he's going to be suiting up for him this week, as long as the draft doesn't pull him away from it, which I don't think it will. You've got Gable Mitchell. You've got guys like Alex Newsom, Carter Seaton. I tell you what, this is a really good team. Joey Boska. We might see Ben Keeter back, for the state tournament. It depends if he's, trying to save Krypton or not. But he's going to be back, probably. So this is a really talented City High team. They're making their 7th appearance. But this is a team that has the possibility to kind of get to the finals. It'd be the first time since 1995, but they've got the pitching, they've got the offense. As long as they play solid defense, that's a team that could be playing for a title. And you mentioned the sub-state final between Prairie and Kennedy. I tell you what, if there was ever a state tournament primer for a team, that was it for Prairie. I mean, that had every single element. There are over 700 fans there watching. You had a tight game where the margin of error was razor thin for both teams throughout. You went extra innings. You had every single element of a state tournament game there at Prairie, and they came away with a win against a really good Kennedy team. I think Prairie, you know, you looked at the seniors that they graduated last year, right, and thought, you know, those are some pretty big shoes to fill, and they've really done it. Maddox Freeze has been phenomenal. He was great on the mound against Kennedy. Cal Sullivan, Noah Day, Brandon Vlecko. That is a heck of a 1-4 combo for any pitcher to face. And, you know, those are the guys that came through for the win. So, you know, you've got that leadership. You've got the talent. Prairie, you know, they have the experience. They made it to the semis last year and lost to eventual state champion Pleasant Valley in the semis. They have a rematch with a quarterfinal rematch with Dowling. They beat Dowling in the quarterfinals last year, 8-4. So I think there are a lot of things kind of lining up for Prairie, and I think they could have a pretty good run. It's just going to depend on how that possible semifinal might go with City High and Prairie. You know, and those are two teams that finish at the top or near the top of the MVC Mississippi division.
3A gets underway Monday in Iowa City, and you've got Gazette as a guaranteed semifinalist as West Delaware and Independence oppose one another.
And those fans will not be cheering for one another.
No. No. You know, that was the one if they finished the seventh inning tied, I didn't know if they would I don't know if they'd go to extra innings or if they decide a takedown tournament between the two teams. You know, we might see an ad hoc wrestling duel break out during that game. So I hope the University of Iowa is ready with that new facility.
You got Assumption, the number one seed, and that was a bad draw for Marion. But the number two seed, Western Dubuque, I got to believe will benefit from playing up in competition all year.
Yeah, you know, you think about what Western Dubuque has faced. We talked about City High Prairie, Western Dubuque, Dubuque-Wallert, which was a state finalist last year, and a ranked team just happened to get upset by Central DeWitt, you know, in district play. But those four teams were in the same division. And then you had a ranked Cedar Falls team as well. So you had a team that finished fifth in the Mississippi Valley, Mississippi division that was still ranked by the Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association. So that tells you day in and day out, they were facing, a state caliber team. And I think that really, that'll really have them tested and ready to go. You know, Western Dubuque, very talented Tucker Nauman, one of the leaders for that squad. They're making their sixth appearance, so you know that's a team that I think really could make a deep run. But and I say that because of who they're facing in the first round. Winterset is not your normal number seven seed, and the reason why I say it is because they have an ace pitcher in Justin Hackett that is going to keep them in every single game. Winterset's the only team back from last year's state field. They had a doozy in the first game where Hackett was in a pitcher's duel with, I believe, Savory from Dubuque Wallert. Wallert ended up winning that game 4-1. But with Hackett, he's got 119 strikeouts. I'm not exactly sure how many innings that is, but it's far fewer than 119. He's one of the state leaders in strikeouts. So that's going to be a heck of a test. I think Western Dubuque has enough to kind of survive that, similar to what Dubuque Wallert did last year. But if they can get through that first round, get through Hackett, I like their chances possibly even winning a state title, but certainly getting to the finals for the first time since 2006. And you mentioned Indy, West Delaware, the 4-5, West Delaware, the 4, Indy, the 5, Indy with the upset of Cedar Rapids, Xavier. You know, that's a team that offensively they've got some really good bats. You look at Keegan Schmidt, Marcus Beatty. Mitchell Johnson has 11 home runs, is a home run away from the program record there. Korver Hupke, you know, they've got a really good hitting team, and they're going to cause a lot of fits for anybody. The two teams split on May 23rd with West Delaware winning 5-1. Indy won the nightcap 5-4. But West Delaware has won 11 straight games, which dated back to June 23rd when they beat Clear Creek Amana, who was a team that's went in and out of the rankings, and then defending state champ Marion, they swept. So West Delaware's playing as well as anybody right now.
Yeah, they are. And Ben Keeter won somewhere today, I'm sure, in wrestling. So
he's probably getting a little kid's cat out of a tree and walking an old lady across the street, all in the same motion and working out for football. So
no doubt. KJ, have fun, be careful, and Carol, we're all thinking about you, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Will do. Thank you guys very much, appreciate it.
All right, KJ Pilcher of the Gazette joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this.
We've got everything to make your summer a season to remember at Menards. Relax in the sun with an extra large zero gravity lounger chair. This oversized lounger is designed with comfort in mind and includes a side table with phone and cup holder. Grab one today for just $88.99 after 11% off now at Menards. Good through July 17th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We need to hire for another position. No problem. It's not like I'm already trying to juggle 5 job sites, screen candidates, schedule interviews, and, you know, do my job.
You've had it, and we get it. JobFunnel simplifies your search. Fill out info once, and we post it to all the big job sites. JobFunnel makes it easy to prioritize applicants, keep track of things, even send bulk email responses, all from one streamlined hub. Go to KZIA.com and click on JobFunnel to get started. Breathe. JobFunnel's on it.
All right, thanks to KJ Pilcher for joining us. We'll be back with you coming up on Monday, the day of Home Run Derby. It'll be Schwarber versus Pujols, the 1-8, Soto and Ramirez, the 4-5, Seager, Julio Rodriguez, the 3-6, Pete Alonso going for his third against Ronald Acuna Jr., the 2-7. Fun field, Mark. I'm looking forward to Home Run Derby. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it came together late. Got to go with Alonso, don't you?
I think you got to go with Alonso. He's the guy. He's won 2 in a row. Why not go for 3, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, the folks at Dodger Stadium are not striking.
Concessionaires.
Concessionaires, they will be there for All-Star Weekend. So good news right there. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll get ready to kick off at 4 o'clock. Speaking of kickoff, they'll have the latest installment of their countdown to kick off the Nebraska Cornhuskers today. They'll talk a little Nebby football coming up. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will rejoin you coming up Monday at 3, right after Spencer on Sports from 2 to 3, right here on KGYM. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. This is Claudia's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
I had just moved to